Not Slow, As Some Count Slowness, was presented by Jack Crabtree on December 18, 2016, at Reformation Fellowship. The copyright for this recording is held by Jack Crabtree and is being made available to you by Gutenberg College. Gutenberg College is a nonprofit organization, and contributions may be made at www.gutenberg.edu. Contributions to Jack Crabtree may be made at www.soundinterp.wordpress.com. This material may be copied and distributed in whole for non-commercial and educational purposes, subject to the inclusion of this introduction. All other rights reserved.
Over 2 millennia ago, angels appeared in the sky above the vicinity of Jerusalem and Bethlehem and sang praises to God as the shepherds looked up from their fields. 2 millennia later, we are still celebrating the event that prompted those angels to break forth in praise and thanksgiving. When they appeared, it had been for over 900 years that people who loved and served God had waited for the coming of his Messiah King. Finally, after all those hundreds of years, the king was born. The long-awaited rescuer and ruler was finally on the scene. The baby Jesus was born, grew to maturity, taught, performed miracles, was unjustly crucified, was raised up to an immortal existence by God, and then departed to somewhere inaccessible to us. But as he departed, he promised to return in the same manner that he left. That was nearly 2,000 years ago now, and still we wait. When Jesus entered into history, there existed a whole class of people who had not grown weary of hoping. We know the names of a few: Mary, Joseph, Zacharias, Elizabeth, Anna, Simeon. But most certainly there were others whose identity is lost to history. These were individuals who believed that God would keep his promise. They expected God's Messiah. They believed he would really, actually come. But why? Why did they continue to believe after nearly 1,000 years of waiting? Why had they not written off the stories they heard as mere legends, tales, and folklore? Why did they continue to expect the Messiah in all seriousness? For nearly 1,000 years, the Messiah had failed to arrive on the scene. Wouldn't a reasonable person conclude that it was never going to happen? Why continue believing when you see no evidence that you should? They believed, I submit, because they understood. They knew who God was. They understood who they were. And they understood the nature and significance of history. God was the author and governor of all of reality. History was the story that God was authoring. And they were creatures created to play their own distinctive roles within that story. They understood all that, if not explicitly, implicitly. And they awaited with eager anticipation the next important phase of the story that God was creating, the story of which they were a part. They understood that God being God and created reality being what it was, God had no need to hurry the story along. If God delayed, it was not because he had forgotten, it was not because he had lost interest, and it was not because he had changed his mind. If God had delayed, it was not because he was slow, as some count slowness. Rather, it was because the story he is creating does not demand that things unfold quickly. And it was because the pace of the story is not set to stave off my impatience. It is set to unfold just as its author chooses for it to unfold. The class of people who were expecting the Messiah in the first century had an advantage that we do not possess. They lived in a time, place, and culture where the reality of God and the truths of history were a living memory. The actual reality of God was not in question for them. The promises of God to Israel were not in doubt for them. We, however, do not live in such a time, place, and culture. For the vast majority of our culture, God is an invention of the not fully evolved human mind. The stories of God's interaction with human beings in past ages are dubious at best. Surely they are fictions created by past ages to serve purposes we may no longer understand. More than 2,000 years have passed since Jesus allegedly promised his return. Does this lengthy delay not prove the doubter right? Does it not prove that God does not really exist and that the stories about Jesus are nothing more than fiction? If we are tempted to give up, to suspend our hope in Jesus' return, and perhaps to abandon our belief in the reality of God and the veracity of the gospel, if that is the temptation we face, we do well to think about one of the more significant implications of Jesus' birth more than 2,000 years ago. In a sense, God was slow to keep his promise to Israel, but he did keep it. A child was born, and that child proved himself qualified to fill the role of the promised Messiah. So true, God was slow to bring about the birth of that child, but he was not slow as some count slowness. That is, his slowness was not some sort of weakness or inadequacy or defect. Therefore, unless we cynically reject all of it altogether, there is concrete historical evidence that a delay in the fulfillment of God's word does not in any way give evidence that his word will not be kept. The first time he kept it after a delay of nearly 1,000 years, and that delay was in the context of a promise that each new generation could reasonably expect to be fulfilled in their lifetime. We have waited 2,000 years, but that delay is in the context of a promise that Jesus himself told us would be a long time in coming. Today we anticipate the day when the events surrounding the first Christmas will be surpassed. Jesus will arrive, not as a helpless child, but as a mighty avenger. The angels will appear from the skies, but not as a choir singing praises, but as a mighty army prepared to battle the enemies of God. We who believe will be transformed, not in the state of our heart, but in the very nature of our being, as we leave our mortality behind and take on immortality. When Jesus comes again, it will not be a transforming event in the middle of history. It will be the event that marks the end of this age of history altogether. It will be the beginning of a whole new and different era. That day we anticipate is as sure to come as the day when Jesus was born into this world to begin with. When that day comes, may we be like Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, Zacharias, Anna, and Simeon, individuals who were eagerly anticipating him when he came. Let us not be like so many others who had long passed, stopped hoping and believing.
Let's pray. Father, we are here. We are together. We are learning from your word, all because you have reached out to us in this world, and you've reached out to us through your Son. His birth is one of the most important things that ever happened to each one of us, because he came to give us hope, he came to give us life, and that hope and that life is everything. So we just want to take this moment to thank you for reaching out to us, for not leaving us to perish, but sending your Son to bring us hope and life in this world. Amen.